Look, I want to share with you an amazing medrash, and we will explore together how this relates to our thinking at this conference. The medrash tells of a story, an encounter between a sage, Rabbi Yannai, and a wayfarer who was invited to his home. So if you can turn to your sheets, source number one, that will be the springboard for everything. Here is the story. There is a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun, which how this gets brought in. The pasuk says, "V'sam derech arenu b'yesha elokim." One who orders his way, I will show him the salvation of God. Rav Yannai made a comment on that verse, and he said, don't read it, v'sam derech, the one who orders his way, but v'sam derech, the one who evaluates, the one who does introspection and takes stock of his way, of how he behaves. So here is the story. Maisa v'Rav Yannai. Everyone have it on the top line. Maisa v'Rav Yannai shayim halech baderech. Rav Yannai was walking on the road. V'ra adam echad shayim mishupa b'yoser. He saw somebody who looked very distinguished. He figured he must be a big Talmid Chacham. He looked, he had a long white beard. He wore a black suit. He had a bigger black yarmulke than mine. And he looked very impressive. Amalei, so Rav Yannai turned to him and said, Mashkach Rebbe Miskavlo Gaban, I'm inviting you to eat in my home. It would be my honor to have you. Amar lo in. So he says, sure, he went along. I'm happy to eat with you. Hechniso lebeiso, Rav Yannai brought him into his home. Hechilo veheshkeyu, he gave him a wonderful, sumptuous meal. Imagine we just ate here. Huge meal, wonderful meal. And then he began to talk learning. What does the Talmid Chacham do at a table? Talk Yivri Torah. So he began to speak to him in learning. B'dako b'mikra. He checked out what he knew. He said, let's speak about the parsha. V'lo mitzao. He didn't find anything. The person seemed ignorant. He didn't know what parsha was. He didn't know anything. The Mishnah, he checked out. You know, it's ironic today we talk about how one should learn. You start with Mikra, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. Well, you see, maybe the problem wasn't always in our generation, but it always was. You don't know Mikra, maybe you know Mishnah. So he checked out whether he knew Mishnah, Velomitso. He didn't know that. Ba'agada, you know some Agada, so let's talk about some famous Midrashim. Lomitso, he didn't know anything. B'Talmud, Halacha, Gemara, Lomitso. Basically, this person knew nothing. Amalei, so Rav Yannai was frustrated, obviously. He says, Sabrich, so take a cup of wine and you'll lead the benching. Maybe there was another person there as well, there's a mezumen, or whatever it was, you bench aloud. Amalei, so the man responded, Yevarech Yannai Bevese, you're the host, you bless. Why did he say that? Apparently, he didn't even know how to read Hebrew to bench Birchas Hamazon. So you can imagine how Rav Yannai is thinking at this point. Amalei, so Rav Yannai said to his guest, Isbach Amar Mada Ano Amalach, repeat after me. Listen very carefully. Amalei in, I'm listening, I'll say everything. Amalei, so Rav Yannai says, Emor, say the following. Achil Kalba Pista Di Yannai. A dog ate the bread of Yannai. Sounds pretty harsh. You're not worthy of getting fed by me. A dog ate my bread. Kam Tafse. What's the reaction of this man? He grabs Rav Yannai, literally hugging him, embracing him, almost demanding something. Amale Yerusasi Gabach. My inheritance is with you. Da'at Moneali, you're holding it back. You're withholding something very precious from me. Amalei, Rav Yannai said, Umay Rusasich Gabi, what do you mean? What is it that your inheritance is by me? What do you mean? Amalei, so the man responded, Chadzman, one time Havena Avar Kami Beis Safra. I was passing a school, a cheder, B'sham is Kolon Dominikai. I heard the children, the sound of the children, Amrin. This is what they were saying. A pasuk that we all know from when we were very young. I never learned this when I went to school. but I overheard it from the children. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasa kihilas Yaakov. Torah is an inheritance commanded by Moshe, inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. Kihilas Yanai inksiv kan. It doesn't say in the pasuk kihilas Yanai. It's the inheritance of Yanai, Elo kihilas Yaakov, which means you're holding something back from me. I have a stake in this. I have a part in this. Why do you have this sense of elitism? Why do you exclude me? Amale. So Rav Yanai was taken a bit aback, and he began to probe into this individual's background. And Rav Yanai asked him, Lama zachisa lamecha al pesori. What did you have the merit to eat at my table? Something is going on. God didn't just send you to me just by chance. There must be something that you have going for you. Let me understand you better. Amalo. So he mentioned two things. He said, Miyomai, all my life, lo shimayis mila bisha, I did not hear a bad word, v'chazarti lamara, and I would say it back to the master. Now, this could mean one of two things. One idea is, in the Mefarshim say, if someone would speak badly about somebody else, say, Lashon Hara, I could go back to that person and be violating the chilus. I'll bring it, it's nice, juicy information. Do you know what he said about you? I never did that. I kept it between me and him. I never said it to the person that was spoken about. The other explanation, which is quite interesting in the context of the story, even if somebody insulted me, I did not respond in kind to the owner to say something back to insult the other. That's the first thing I tell you that I always, the motto of my life. The first rule, the golden rule of my life. The second golden rule, the lochamis train the miskatshin deinim dein. I never saw two people having a quarrel, the lo yahavis shlama beinehon, that I did not make efforts to promote peace between them, to make them friends again, like Aaron HaKohen. I don't know anything as far as Torah knowledge, but this is my life goal, these two things. Omar Lay, so Rav Yanai responded, he was amazed, he had an epiphany, and he said, Kol hada derech eretz gabach, you have such enormous derech eretz, menschlichkeit, decency, unbelievable, the karisach kalban, I had the nerve to call you a dog. Kara Alei, Rav Yanai then took the liberty of reading on this person the pasuk that the Medrash opened with, which said, some derech, the one who orders his ways, doesn't mean some just to order, but some derech, to really take stock and to evaluate how you live in terms of your midos and your character. Someone who does that, sagi shavi, is worth an immense amount. It's priceless, worth more than anything. And the Medrash concludes with a famous statement that we probably have heard at one time or another. The Amar Rabbi Yishmael bar Rav Nachman, Esrim b'shisha doros kadma derech eretz es haTorah. Derech eretz came before Torah by 26 generations. The Torah was given in the 26th generation to creation. 10 until Noah, 10 until Abraham, and then we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's another 6 generations. But way back in the beginning of time, the Torah alludes to derech eretz, as the pasuk says, when Adam HaRishon was banished from Gan Eden, lishmor es derech eitz haChayim. Derech is Derech Eretz, and then comes Torah. This is the basis for the famous expression, Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. So, we have a fascinating medrash. This medrash, I think, speaks for itself. But let's begin to point out some of the main highlights of it. The underlying dynamic here in the story between a great sage, Rav Yanai, who knew so much, and an ignorant guest, who was invited into his house by mistake, with the mistaken impression that he must have been a peer, a colleague, a great knowledgeable Torah scholar. Imagine the sense of disappointment and shock that Rav Yanai must have felt when he discovered how little this person knew. But it wasn't just that he was disappointed and shocked, but his attitude snapped from a sense of condescension. And the fact that it came through in the way it did, referring to this man as a dog. Now, where did that come from, the expression of a dog? Why a dog? So actually, there's a Gemara that sheds light on this in the very next source, where Rabbeinu HaKadosh, in a time of famine then, he was trying to supply food to the most neediest individuals, and those who he felt knew Torah were more worthy than those who didn't. And there was an individual, a student of Rebbe, who found his way to slip in and get some food, but he made believe that he knew nothing. He didn't want to feel like he was getting supported because of his knowledge of Torah. And at the end, he said to Rebbe, why should you, I want you to sustain me like you do a dog, a kelev, or an orev, a raven. And Rebbe gave him, but then Rebbe felt bad afterwards, but then they explained to Rebbe that really this individual was worthy because he knew a lot of Torah. So there's some concept here in this Gemara that seems to suggest that if a person is more knowledgeable in Torah, they're more worthy of getting sustained. This Gemara, this idea is also echoed in a Gemara in Pesachim, Surah 6, and that is the comment of the Gemara that there are 26 stanzas in a Hodu Hashem Ki Tov that we say many times in davening, also at the Seder, Ki La'oram Chasto. How does it end? No sin lechem l'chol basar Ki La'oram Chasto, Hodu Ke La'shamayim Ki La'oram Chasto. Why 26 stanzas? Because 26 generations till the Torah was given were sustained without Torah. Why? Because Hashem is kind. Ki La'oram Chasto. So the sense is that without Torah, you're basically at the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not worthy in your own right to get sustained. And so this was the attitude Rav Yanai was basing himself on, that somehow, if he came to me for food, then he needs to deserve it. If he doesn't deserve it, then I should not feed him. And yet, Rav Yanai came around to another perspective. And who was it that called Rav Yanai on his false perspective, on the perspective of elitism? It was this individual who had an intuition. He didn't have the knowledge. He only overheard a pasuk because children were saying it, and yet he intuited something very basic. And notice as well that this individual lived by what he preached. He could have insulted Rav Yanai back, and that would have been the end of the story. It would have been a very different ending. Rav Yanai would have felt justified and vindictive, and so would that individual, and so that would have been the end of the story. Never the twain shall meet. But this individual, because of his unbelievable character, was able to call Rav Yanai on his bluff in a way that led Rav Yanai himself to discover his mistake and to probe further and to discover a new revelation. That even somebody who knew nothing, yet there's incredible worthiness to that person. And that person is as worthy of getting sustained because of the notion of Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. And when he heard that, Rav Yanai had a new understanding of a pasuk in Tehillim because of how this person related to him. I'd like to take this idea, this again, the message is so, it rings in my ears. Anytime I read this medrash, I shudder because in a sense, it's very easy to fall into this kind of trap. Any field that you're in, which is valuing knowledge, and certainly Yiddishkeit is one where Torah is paramount, and you can't overemphasize the incredible premium that we put on Torah and knowledge. That you read a medrash like this, and you have a double take, you realize that there's a whole other perspective that we have to begin to embrace. The notion of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, the notion that the medrash concludes with, has been developed by many, many commentaries. We don't have the time to completely develop the idea, but just a bit of a taste. If you go to the bottom source on the first page, a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the comment of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, in Ein Torah, Ein Derech Eretz. In Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah. So we're going to focus on part two right now. In Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah. Without Derech Eretz, you can't really have Torah. What does it mean? Rabbeinu Yonah on that Mishnah. Source 10. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Shetzarech tchila v'sakei nes'atzmo v'midos, u'bazeh tishkona Torah alav. A person has to first work on their character, and with that, the Torah can rest on them. The Torah cannot rest on an individual who is not possessing of good character. You can't say, I'll learn Torah, and somehow everything else will follow, then I'll learn to be a mensch. First, you have to be a mensch, and really develop that, and then we can take it to the next step. That idea speaks to the fact that being a mensch, it was mentioned earlier in the plenary, has to do with a universal value that everybody can relate to. And it's something natural. If you really look around the world, you can see that having good midos is not just a function of how much Torah or how little Torah. To the contrary, unfortunately, we find that someone can know a lot of Torah and not have basic derech eretz. The Gemara says in Erevin that if we wouldn't have Torah, we could still learn various midos from the animal world, animal kingdom. We could learn modesty tzniyus from a cat. We could learn not to steal from an ant. We can learn derech eretz from a chicken. Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon, in his introduction to Shas, points out an incredible statement. He says, there are many mitzvot that B'nai Noach are commanded and are binding on them, even if it's not part of the formal code, the Noachid code of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. And he says it's based on common sense. Koa mitzvot shein tuliyin v'svara, he says, uv'uvdin uvnesa deliba, if your heart understands it, Hakom is chayvin b'hen, all are obligated in this from the day that God created man. It's innate to man to act decently, to have basic traits of hakaras hatov, appreciation, of being sensitive to the needs of others. The Sabbavam Slobodka, one of the great leaders of the Musar movement, has a wonderful essay. This is just simply a few sentences from that essay where he points out the same idea. And he says further that if we think about the notion of Derech Eretz in the second paragraph, he says, it's a world unto itself. Torah Suleima hi hamakifa es kol ha'adam. It envelops the entire person. If you could spend, you know, months or years on a particular area of Gemara learning or any other area of Torah study, you could spend the same amount of time or more on developing one's character. And he says this is what we can see from all of the stories in Sefer Bereishis, and why, again, Hashem could be quite harsh on people if they don't meet the standard that they would be expected to. Rav Dessler echoes that same idea as well. He says, Shores HaChiyuv, in verse 14, Shores HaChiyuv Tomun V'Chiyuvenu La'adam Baser Hu Adam. This is not about being a Jew. It's about being an individual human being. And he says somebody who doesn't have the basic sensitivities for others lacks what it takes to be able to succeed in Torah. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Mi'ublin talks about how even the way the Torah sets up the chronology of getting to Matan Torah, we can see how the Torah itself is patterned after the notion of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Before you get to Sefer Shmos, we have the Book of Bereishis. What exactly is the point of the Book of Bereishis? The mitzvahs don't really start, really, until Parshas Bo. Here and there we have Mila, Gidanasha, but really, Bereishis is not about teaching us mitzvahs. If Tzaddik says Sefer Bereishis is the notion of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, we believe in civilization, we believe in being civilized. And that's what Bereishis is about. Dor HaMabul fell short because they didn't have the basic discipline that's required of somebody to live in this world and recognize that not everything that you want to please in your heart should you go after. And so it is with, he goes further with Yosef HaTzadik, and of course the Avos, they're the model of Derech Eretz. Rav Soloveitchik, again, we don't have the time to delve into all of this, but there was an unbelievable drasha that he gave in the 1950s. I had the merit to publish this in Yiddish, where it was originally written, and then in the Hebrew translation. The Rav spoke about how a man is compared to a Sefer Torah, and in that context, the Rav spoke about the chosenness of the B'nai Yisrael at Sinai, and the chosenness that came before with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says, we have, just as we write a Torah scroll, we have to work the parchment well. It's called Ibud, on the cloth, in order that the ink will stick to the parchment. Otherwise, the ink will fade, and it will, after a while, the Torah will be puzzled. He says, we have to start with the Bechira of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That has to do with the notion of Chinuch on the level of Midos. And then we could talk about the Torah on top of that. I'd like to spend a few minutes that we have left to take it in terms of a specific Ramban. And this Ramban is eye-opening. And I had a chance, Baruch Hashem, to deal with this Ramban extensively in a Sefer that I just recently published. So this is just simply one little piece of it. The Ramban says, based on the Torah's passages in Sefer Shmos, Parshas Besalah, that there was a station in the Midbar called Mara. 3 days after the splitting of the sea, the Bnei Yisrael found themselves in a place called Mara. The water was bitter. They hadn't drunk for 3 days. and they complained to Moshe. Moshe was told by God to take something, a piece of wood, to throw it into the water, and the water turned sweet. And then we have interesting words. Sham sam lo chok u'mishpat. This is in the second line, Surah 17. Kisham nisahu. There he placed before him statutes and ordinances. What exactly does it mean? Chazal tell us that there were a sample of mitzvos that we got in Mara, a precursor to the Torah. A sample of mitzvos. The Ramban works with that, but then suggests an alternative explanation, and this is source 18. The Ramban says, I think that the meaning of Chok u'Mishpat is something else, which may not be totally against the grain of what Chazal are saying. When there were mitzvos, those mitzvos may also reflect the idea that Ramban is emphasizing. Says the Ramban, they began to go into the Midbar, and you have a major army of people, 600,000 men plus women plus children, maybe 2 million people, about to enter into the desert. There needs to be some structure, there needs to be some way to get them to understand how you relate to one another, how you relate to others. Says the Ramban, that's what we have over here. Go down a few lines in the Ramban, he gives us specific examples. You have to know how to deal with adversity. You're going into a desert. Things are not always going to be so smooth. Yasrein bechukei hamidbar. The laws of the desert, the laws of nature. How do you tolerate things when things are difficult, when you don't have what to eat, you don't have what to drink? Call out to Hashem in a dignified way. Don't just complain. Sometimes the Jews didn't get that message. As we know, quite often the Chumash, they did complain. But that was the point of Mara. Mishpatim, choku mishpat, says the Ramban. Yahov ish esrei ehu. Love one another. V'hisnai batzas haskenim. You have leaders. Welcome their counsel. Seek their counsel. Hatznei leches be'aleihem. Be decent in your private life with your homes. Binyan hanashim ha'yeladim. Speak nicely to your children. Give them love, but give them limits. All the ideas that we've been speaking about. V'shiyinagu salam nimhabon ba'machana. Someone comes from another place. They find their way into your community. How do you treat them? Do you say good Shabbos? Do you say good morning? Do you make yourself available to them? You have these people coming in. How do you act? Do you act like, you know, a band of people that are undisciplined, uncivilized, or do you have basic courtesy? All of this was taught in this location in Mara before the Torah was given. It is my thinking, and I didn't see this particular explanation anywhere, so I simply cite myself in Source 21. But I think intuitively that this Ramban is the basis of a tefillah that we say every day in our davening before Kriyat Shema. As we know, before Kriyat Shema, we have a bracha beginning with the words Ava Rabba. What do we ask for in Ava Rabba? We all understand we ask for Torah. We want to grow in Torah. And the words talk about that, as you have here. Avinu Avarachman, Rachem Olenu, Shemdu Ribbeinu, Lahavinu Ahaskiyo, Lishmoa, and we go on. We want to be enlightened with Torah. But if you look just before that, before we speak about Torah, we say something else. In the merit of our fathers who trusted in you, you taught them laws of life. Now, what does that mean? You imagine it also means Torah, but then why are we repeating it again and again? If you look in the Abud Ram, the commentary of the Rishonim on Siddur, one of the classic Rishonim, he says, who are the forefathers here that trusted in you? It doesn't refer to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It refers to those who left Egypt. How did they trust in you? They left Egypt without knowing what they're going to eat. As we all know the song on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Nekta Haftorah of Parshas Maaseh, we'll have in 2 weeks, Zacharti Lach, Chesed Nuraich, Avas Kulu Osayich, Lechtich Acharei Bamidbar Beretz Gozer. I remember the kindness of your youth. Our forefathers trusted in you. They left Mitzrayim and trusted in you. And what happened then? Batelam Dein Chukei Chayim. You taught them the laws of life. I would suggest here that it doesn't mean Torah. We're not yet at Torah. You taught them Derech Eretz Shekadma La Torah. You taught them Chok u'Mishpat in Mara, as the Ramban develops. And whether it be the Ramban's explanation of the Pshutos HaMikra, whether there were real mitzvos in Mara, it's not so much the mitzvos for mitzvos' sake, it's the mitzvos in terms of the lessons of ethics and character that come from them. Shabbos is a sense of discipline. Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is a sense of appreciation for others. dinim, how to relate one to the other. The essence of Mara was the sense of Derech Eretz Yekadma LaTorah. And so when we daven every day, in a sense, we have a special tefillah, if I'm correct, that we're asking Hashem to enlighten us in Derech Eretz, to improve our character. We can always improve in our character. And with that, we can develop the Torah. Not everybody is in a position of a mechanech, per se, in a formal sense. Not everybody lives in the Ivy Power like I do. But yet, we also say in Ava Rabba, Tein b'libeinu lilmod ulilameh, to learn and to teach. How does everybody say to teach? We're not all teachers. But Moshe Feinstein, who I get a privilege as a youngster to see him in his presence, he says in a Sefer Doras Moshe, everyone is a teacher. Why? Because whether you realize it or not, people look at you and people learn from you. And therefore, we have to recognize that people are, whatever position we're on, formally or informally, Klei Kodesh or Lei Kodesh, we are setting an example for our children, for our neighbors, for our community, and so on. And so we want to set the right example, whether it be in Torah, whether it be in Derech Eretz. I think there's a lot here to digest. I think if we can take this message from the Medrash that we started with, Rav Yanai, the lesson that he understood, the lesson I think that all of us can learn to really appreciate the importance, the relevance of Derech Eretz, and how we should be able to translate that in our communities, respect the authorities, the leaders. On the other hand, the leaders should respect the Lei Kodesh, respect one another, act in such a way that really emulates the models, the highest models, the Torah that exists within Derech Eretz, and with that, be able to move on to the Torah itself.